Before I get into the scripture this morning, I want to just to give you this Old Testament passage. It comes from 2 Kings chapter 10, and I want you to know that this passage comes in the midst of warfare and battle, king against king, a battle over a kingdom, and John Wesley extrapolates it out of its story. If you put it back into the story, it's very fascinating. Right after the two verses that I'm going to read to you, these two characters go off and make war and kill a bunch of people. I just want, if you go and look at this story, it's fascinating what John Wesley does with this scripture. So here are these words that John Wesley uses for his sermon, Catholic Spirit. 2 Kings chapter 10, verses 15 through 16. When he left there, he met Jehonadab, son of Rechab, coming to meet him. He greeted him and said to him, "Is your heart as true to mine as mine is to yours?" Jehonadab answered, "It is." Jehu said, "If it is, give me your hand." So he gave him his hand. Jehu took him up with him into the chariot. He said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." So he had him ride in his chariot. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So we've been in the midst of this Wesleyan sermon series. We have this week and next week to go, and then we'll be on to something else. But as we review what we've learned together, what is the one needful thing? Being more Christ-like. Are you pursuing that? Yes?
Yes.
No? We might need to go a little bit longer with these sermon series if you guys aren't going to get it. All right. Okay. The correct one, yes, yes, with everything. Now, we know that some things get in the way of that pursuit. Sin gets in the way when we are tempted and we fall short and we fall on our face. It gets in the way of that pursuit. It'll separate us from that pursuit of God. We learned about prevenient grace, that even when we're not pursuing God, God is pursuing us with great passion and effort and zeal. We learn that through the means of grace, there are things that we can practice that draw us closer to God. Through prayer and study of Scripture, through coming to church and worship, and through the communion table. We also learn together that through sanctifying grace, that through this process of sanctification, that God is making us perfect in love. That we will reach these heights of glimmer of perfection, that we are reaching that goal, that one needful thing. We learned about the influence of John Wesley's life, his mother, Susanna Wesley. And today, as we come together, we're going to talk about how to treat one another as Christian brothers and sisters. The two greatest commandments is love your God with all that you are. Pursue that relationship above any other. But the second command is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. One of the ways that we show we love God is to love God's creation. So Jesus says things not only love your neighbor as yourself, but love your enemy. You can relax because we're not going to talk about that one today. Woo! We're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes that could be a little bit harder. Not only within your own home church, but when we move out into community and there are other denominations that have different structures than we do, that have a little bit of different belief set than we do. So we're going to talk about how one of the beauties of United Methodism that I have loved so much is that we can always, what we teach is that we can come to the table and discuss what we believe, but we always, even if we disagree, we leave that table still loving one another. That even though we disagree, it's not going to split us apart. There's always this unity. All right. And it's what John Wesley called a Catholic spirit. Now, this Catholic is with a little c, even though it's capitalized up there. It's because it's the first word on the screen. It's a little c. It doesn't mean, it doesn't have anything to do with the Roman Catholic Church, even though we are in Christian unity with them. One of the more, the word that we use today is ecumenical. All right, that word, it means that no matter what denomination we are, we understand that we are all headed in the same place and that we can work together for the common good and for God's kingdom. All right, Catholic spirit is the same thing. All right. So John Wesley's sermon on the Catholic spirit is how to treat one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. I find this interesting that this sermon would pop up for me, especially after General Conference of the United Methodist Church just met. Now, I don't know if any of you are keeping up with the rulings of General Conference. It's not real exciting. In fact, it's very, very frustrating. Cameron's been keeping up with it, and he come into my office, and I'm like, Cameron, I don't even want to know. Don't tell me, it will kill my spirit. Because it gets very, very bogged down. General Conference meets every 4 years. It is the rulings of the, it's the highest body of the United Methodist Church that can change polity. All right, not doctrine, but polity, the way we're structured. They spent 3 whole days on this one rule, Rule 44, which said we can't agree using Robert's Rules of Order. Obviously, we're having problems communicating. Let's try something different. They argued 3 days over that. All right, that's General Conference for you. But every year since 1978, the General Conference has come forward and argued over human sexuality. Since 1978. And every year, when we come together every 4 years, the schism gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more emotional every time we come together. And here John Wesley says, how to treat your Christian brothers and sisters. How to stay in unity with one another. Not only in your own denomination, right, where we have huge disagreements, but when we go out into community and there's all these brothers and sisters from different denominations. All right, I'm going to bracket this by telling you that I was raised United Methodist. I am a DNA United Methodist. I live, breathe, eat Methodism. I love it. Do I think it's right? Yes. Yes, I do. All right. But really, if I was maybe raised Baptist or Catholic or Presbyterian or Episcopalian, I might think that's right too. But I wasn't. My parents were United Methodist. My grandparents on both sides were United Methodist. My great-grandfather, who is Evangelical United Brethren, my great-grandfather, my grandmother, her, his daughter, watched as the Methodist and the United Brethren merged to make the United Methodist Church. It's in my DNA. All right. So I will say that when I was younger, I was even more fervent. All right, because I didn't know any better. I didn't really know what the Catholic spirit was, but boy, howdy, I could argue. All right, and even when I went into seminary, one of the things they teach you is defend what you believe. Show us, tell us why you believe that. So, man, I was on fire. So when I got my first charge, it was 2 small churches, and I started teaching Bible study, guess what? I was right. And if there were people in the class that disagreed with me, boy, it turned them off. I don't understand why. No, I do. Because I did not share in that Catholic spirit of coming to the table. And even though we disagree, that's okay. We learn from one another. We respect one another's opinions, but we can leave that table. Now, let me tell you this also. Now, we were all raised, some of us in here, many of us in here, were not raised United Methodist, right? And some of you may be thinking, what am I doing in a United Methodist church now that I know who this John Wesley is and he has a bobblehead? But you are. You're here. The way we're raised and what we're raised in, and if it was important to our parents, and especially if it was important to our grandparents, will naturally be passed on to us, and we'll feel strongly about that. All right, that's one of the influences in our life. The second one is we need to know about what we believe when we come together as a church. That's one of the reasons why we're doing this Wesleyan series, so that we understand what it means to be United Methodist, where we came from. Because it's extremely important to you to be grounded in what you believe. Does anybody know what happens to you when you're not grounded in what you believe? Anybody? You get blown by the wind. You go here and you go there and you go somewhere else. And you leave what you thought you believed behind to grasp onto something new. And you're not sure about anything. And eventually what happens is you just get tired of moving around until you just give it all up. That's what happens when you're not grounded in what you believe. So when we talk about the Catholic spirit and we talk about coming to the table, it's not about, what's the word I'm looking for? Indifference. That's the word I'm looking for. Indifference. It's not about indifference. It's not that we're indifferent about other people's belief. For example, I come to the table and we're talking about baptism. United Methodists baptize their infants. There's some denominations who have a serious problem about that. They're not old enough to commit to their faith. They have no idea. So we get into discussion about that. Does that mean I go away mad? Does it mean that I don't care about mine or I don't care about theirs? That I'm indifferent to it? That I'm just going to shrug it off and go, it don't matter? It does matter. But not enough to break the Christian camaraderie, because the more we split up, the more we let these little differences get in the way, the less powerful we are. Okay, I want you to understand this. When it comes to General Conference, and we look at the United Methodist Church as an example, if a schism happens when we split, we can't do as much good as we're doing right now. The more we focus on our differences, the weaker we are. The less we invest into things like UM Army, the less we invest into other countries that need help. The beauty of the United Methodist Church, because we're a connectional system, we are not a local congregation that stands alone, we are connectional. It means that we hit the ground in big ways. A lot of people don't know this because we don't make the news, because we're quite quiet about it. We're very humble people. But anytime there is devastation, whether it's a hurricane, a tsunami, an earthquake, whatever it may be that causes great devastation, we are on the ground. And a lot of times we're on the ground before devastation hits. That tsunami that hit Haiti years ago, we had people already in Haiti, and they were killed in it because they were already at work in UM Army. We're already there because we're a connectional church. We have a very powerful presence. But the more we disagree, you see, the less we can do. When we come into community and we work with other churches, whether they're Catholic, Episcopalian, Baptist, Presbyterian, non-denominational, if we let these schisms get in the way, the less we can do together. You see, the more people coming together, the more we can do together, right? So, but there are things that are extremely important. It doesn't mean that you don't care what they believe. You do. And you care passionately about what you believe. And you know you are grounded in what you believe. But the things that are in common, the way John Wesley uses the scripture, if your heart is of my heart, take my hand. If you believe Jesus Christ is Lord, let's get to work. If you believe that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, let's get to work. If you believe that God is the creator of all and God is calling us into unity to do great things together, let's get to work. But these things about polity, these things, whether we have an open table, which is United Methodist, we do, which I believe is right. All right. We baptize our infants. I believe that's right. Okay, you see where I'm going? But when it comes to what we do for the glory of God, those things don't matter. It's not a question of, do you have an open table? Great, let's get to work. You see all the people that I left out there? I just made a huge split, didn't I? Let's get together with all the people that baptize their infants. You see the great many that I left out there? Those things don't matter in the grand scheme of things. What matters when we come together as the church universal, or the Catholic Church with a little c, is that we all love Jesus Christ and we all love God's people. Now, in my life, not only am I a DNA United Methodist, but going and visiting other churches really kind of weirds me out sometimes, because I'm used to being in a United Methodist church. I'm used to the way we do things. I'm comfortable in the United Methodist Church. I went to my sister's church. I don't know what happened. She left the United Methodist Church. I think it's because my mother sent her to a Catholic school, and then she went to a Baptist church, and now she's non-denominational. I don't know what happened. But I went and visited her church while we were on vacation, and it came to the point of communion. And so the song leader is giving instructions. He says, there's stations out there to go get, and he didn't even call them elements, the juice and the, basically, they're what we call rip and dips. And what they are is the little juice cup and the little wafers on top, and you rip the top open, you eat the wafer, and then you rip it again, and you drink. All right? So you go to these little stations, and you pick up your own, and you take it back to the seat with you. And I thought, this is weird. Okay. So I'm sitting there like a good little Methodist waiting for the words of institution. I'm waiting for them to tell me, this is the body broken for you. This is the blood shed for you. I'm waiting. And the song's over, and nothing's happening, and people are looking at me because I still have mine, and everybody else is eating and drinking theirs. What are you people doing? I still have mine, so I just pocketed it. I didn't know what to do with it. Nobody blessed it. Later, I asked my sister, what was that? And my stepfather's Catholic, and it's been really hard for my mom. She's really tried to have a Catholic spirit being raised United Methodist, and she'll call me and she says, Stephanie, I don't know what to do. I'm not Catholic. And it's been years since they've been married. She's been going to the Catholic Church for years. I said, Mom, it's because you're Methodist. That's why you have a problem with this. And she goes, yeah, you're right. But anyway, I'm talking to my Catholic stepdad, and he goes, yeah, I didn't know what to do with that either. You know, I've been there a couple of times. I kind of know what to do now, but it feels like there's something missing. But those kind of things, even though they kind of ruffle my feather while I'm there, it doesn't matter. They're doing great things. And it's not something that I would let come between my sister and I, or a point of contention, or even to tell my sister, that is completely wrong, right? Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. How we worship, whether we worship contemporary, whether we worship traditional, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that we are two churches divided. We are one body in Christ. Are we indifferent about it? No. But we're grounded enough to know what we believe, and we're not going to be swayed by someone else's argument. If someone else tells us we're wrong, you need to come our way, we are grounded enough to say, no. You see, United Methodists always had kind of a reputation of, we'll fall for anything because of this policy. If you feel the way that I do about Jesus Christ, take my hand and let's work together. But that's not true. That is not true. United Methodists, John Wesley believed in being very well educated and that God gave you a brain for a reason. And it was for you to make the decision of what you believed was right for your soul. So if it is being in a United Methodist church, then that's where you need to be. Just like our Catholic brothers and sisters, it is right for their soul to be there, even though they worship a little bit differently than us and they believe a little bit differently than us. Same with the Baptists. But we come together in unity to do great things for God. If you believe as I do, take my hand. So what we're going to do this week for your homework is I want you to think about your friends who are other denominations than you, to have conversations with them about what's similar and what's different. And I want you to think on that conversation, and I want you to get as deep as you can with this individual, as deep and comfortable as you can, all right, with your own knowledge. Because there's two things I want to happen. I want you to learn something from the person you talked about, but I also want you to see, I want you to self-reflect, how grounded am I in my own beliefs? You know, one thing about being Wesleyan is self-reflection. How am I doing? How is my soul? How grounded am I in my own beliefs? Am I easily swayed to another's persuasion? Or can I stand firm? And can I stand firm without getting angry about it? Can I say thank you for sharing? Can I tell you what I believe and not get emotional about it? All right. Where are you in that spectrum? And when you walk away from that conversation, I want you to be able to earnestly pray for your Christian brother and sister that is a little bit different than you. They have different beliefs. They go to a different denomination. I want you to pray for their ministry, pray for their heart. Not pray that they're wrong, that they need to change, but to praise God for who they are and that they have connected with God and that God continues to bless them and their church and in what their church does. All right. Conversation, self-reflection, prayer. That's our homework today. And can you leave that conversation with John Wesley's words? If your heart is as of my heart, take my hand. If our hearts are the same for the Lord Jesus, take my hand. Let's work together for the glory of the kingdom. Let's pray.